بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنما يعمر مساجد الله من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر وأقام الصلاة وآتى الزكاة ولم يخش إلا الله صدق الله العلي العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, honored guests and visitors, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Alhamdulillah, today is the only Friday of the year which is actually a public holiday. And the reason, of course, is that it's Good Friday, the day our Christian neighbors and friends believe that Isa alayhi salam, they believe that Jesus alayhi salam, may peace and blessings be upon him, was crucified. This is an incident that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clarified and addressed in the Quran. For Allah says, وَقَوْلِهِمْ إِنَّا قَتَلْنَا الْمَسِيحَ عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, regarding those who say that they have killed or that they killed Isa ibn Maryam, the Prophet of Allah. Allah says, وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ. Allah says, and they, meaning the enemies of Isa alayhi salam, did not kill him nor did they crucify him, but another was made to resemble him to them. وَإِنَّ الَّذِينَ اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ لَفِي شَكٍّ مِّنْ مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ إِلَّا اتِّبَاعَ الظَّنِّ وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ يَقِينًا. Allah says that indeed those who differ over it are in doubt about it. They have no knowledge of it except the following of assumption, and they did not kill him for certain. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very clear, and it's very important for us to know what our beliefs are, because of course we are faced with the holidays which are celebrated by our neighbors, and they certainly have the right to do that. But we also have to understand what our position is and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have told us about these beliefs. So this Friday is known as Good Friday. For the Muslims, every Friday is Good Friday. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, خَيْرُ يَوْمٍ طَلَعَتَ عَلَيْهِ الشَّمْسِ يَوْمُ الْجُمُعَةِ, that the best day on which the sun has risen is the day of Friday. So for us, we understand and we know that Friday is Good Friday every week. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also said that Friday is the master of days and the greatest of them before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The greatest of days in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is greater before Allah than the day of Al-Adha and the day of Al-Fitr. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave five characteristics about Friday. He said, number one, on this day Allah created Adam. Number two, on it He sent Adam down to the earth. Number three, on it Allah caused Adam alayhi salam to die. Number four, on it, and this is very important for us, there is a time when a person does not ask Allah for anything except Allah gives it to him, so long as he does not ask for something which is prohibited. So this is a blessed day. Every Friday is blessed for the believers, and there is a moment during this day during which if we were to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something, Allah would surely grant that as long as it was not something which is prohibited. So it tells us that this should be a day of remembrance and a day of supplication for the believers. And finally, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and on it, meaning on Friday, the hour will begin. The last time the kids were off, we talked about the Day of Judgment, right? So on it, the hour will begin. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is no angel who is close to Allah, no heaven, no earth, no wind, no mountain, and no sea that does not fear Friday. So why do all of these creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fear Friday? Because they know that the hour will be established, the day of judgment will be established on that day, and therefore they are conscious of that and they are afraid of it. And thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mandated the Friday prayer on this day as well. So today being a public holiday, every masjid in this country of ours will be practically filled, as we see here, mashallah. And it will be filled, as this masjid is filling up, with the people of Iman. It will be filled with the people of Iman. Unless you were dragged here, or unless you were forced to come here, you came because you placed some value to Allah's command and Allah's guidance. Otherwise you would not be here right now. Today off, you would be doing something else. Right? But the fact that you took time out and you came here is a testament to the faith, to the Iman that is present inside your hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase it and grant us all steadfastness. Ameen. So we look around and the masjid is getting filled up. Right? When I walked in, the number of people inside this masjid was higher than it normally is. The masjid is getting filled up. And it looks like a lot. We look around and we say, MashaAllah, we have so many people here today. But census statistics from StatsCan indicate that on a normal Friday, what we see at Jum'ah time for the Friday prayers is only 10% of the Muslim population. Only 10% of the Muslim population. It may be a little bit higher today because people are often more able to come. But generally, on average, 10% of the population comes out for Friday prayers. And this is for most faith groups. About 10% of the followers, 10% of the people who identify themselves as being part of that faith community actually come out for their weekly services. And approximately 40% attend the holiday services. So 10% approximately attend the weekly services, so meaning the weekly Jum'ah and so on prayers. And 40% approximately attend the holiday services. So for example, when our Christian neighbors and friends, when they go to their churches for the services over the weekend, it will be about 40% of their community. Or when we see people come for Eid and we are running out of space and we have to rent a larger hall, and we say, MashaAllah, we have 1,000 people, 1,200 people joining us for Eid prayer, that's approximately 40% of the Muslim community. Another 60% is out there, that's not even there for Eid. You know, we often hear about churches. And when some of our friends, when they come from the churches and they come to the masjid for, you know, when we have open houses and so on, and they talk about the attendance at the churches, and this is not a secret, that in general, attendance is dwindling, it's going down. And one group who was here, they were talking about it, and they're saying, you know, it's difficult to pay our bills because, you know, we have these beautiful buildings. And subhanAllah, you know, you drive around even downtown Kingston and you see such beautiful architecture that's been there for, you know, over 100 years, more than that. But many of these places of worship are closing because they can't sustain it. There's not enough people attending. And there was an article recently in The Whig, in our local paper, that talked about the new ways of trying to attract people to the church and how they're trying to come up with new ideas, new ways of conducting services, new places. Bible reading in the pub was one of them, right? So trying different ways, creative ways, and I feel bad for them, right? Because they're trying to get it to work, but it's very difficult, it's challenging. So the numbers are going down and they're trying very hard. And when we hear about that, this is the honest truth. Most of us get very happy, say, Alhamdulillah, you know, the Muslim community is good. Our masjid is filled with people. You know, our children are coming to the masjid. And we feel happy about that. And that's a good thing, Alhamdulillah. We don't wish bad for anyone, but we get happy that, you know, that Alhamdulillah, at least our people are still coming and they're responding. But my dear brothers and sisters, you must not become arrogant and you must not become complacent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like arrogance. Conceitful pride is something which Allah hates. So much so that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us that a person who has even an iota, even a speck of conceitful pride, that heart cannot enter paradise. That person cannot enter paradise. That's serious. That's very serious. Okay. So even when it comes to the matters of faith, we can't be arrogant. Come like, yeah, we're Muslims and we're all that. No, we can't have that type of attitude where we feel that, you know, we're saved now and we don't have anything to do and now we're all good. You know, the Iman that we have is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed every single one of us and has given us this opportunity to believe in Him and to worship Him and to believe in His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we don't value it, if we don't value it, if we don't appreciate it, if we don't nurture it, my dear brothers and sisters, I'm very afraid that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could decide one day to snatch it away from us and give it to someone more deserving. This is very serious, and we see it happen from time to time. Overnight, within days, within months, within weeks, a person could be deprived of this gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something very serious, and we cannot be arrogant about this, because our community is no different. Right? If we normally get 400 people here for Jama'ah and at Queens altogether, or 1,000 people for Eid, it means that there are approximately another 1,500 people out there. 1,500 brothers and sisters who identify themselves as Muslims, but they're not attending, and they're not joining us. And these are our brothers and sisters, and we love them, and they identify themselves as Muslims, but something happened somewhere along the road. Something happened somewhere, and this wedge was created between them and the masjid. And we want them to join us. We don't look down upon anyone. We don't look down upon anyone. We love everyone for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everyone is tested in different ways. I don't know if I was tested in the way that they may have been tested, how I would have reacted to that test. If I would have passed or I failed. So we don't look down upon anyone, and we wish well for everyone, and we want good for all our brothers and sisters, and in fact for all of humanity. So we want them to strengthen their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we love them and we care for them as our brothers and sisters. But the thing is, that if this can happen to them and to other communities, it can happen to us as well. And we must always keep that in mind. You know, religiosity in the country, indeed around the world, is being taken over by secularization. It's happening. And the numbers prove it. In 2002, okay, before I go on, can we make some more space, inshallah, for the brothers who are standing? I hate to see them stand at the back. So if you can just move forward, inshallah, and get a bit closer. Can make some more space. Jazakallah. May Allah bless you all. Jazakallah. So in 2002, listen to this carefully. And this is the statistics I found in the Globe and Mail. I didn't make them up. In 2002, 34% of our youth, 15 to 29 years old, said religion was highly important to them. And this is across the country, okay, for all faith groups, everyone, all Canadians. 2002, 34% of 15 to 29 year olds said that religion was highly important to them. Data from Statistics Canada in 2009 shows that the number has gone down to 22%. Okay, so in a matter of 7 years, the figure has gone down from 34% to 22%. Okay, so you see the rate we're going at. So things are clearly going down for everyone, and we are no exception. And this presents a few alarming questions, which I will present to you to reflect upon and to think about. Have we, as individuals, as parents, sufficiently passed on the flame of Iman and the proper understanding of our faith to our children? Have we done our job? Do we even have enough of a flame to pass it on? Or is ours so weak that there's nothing to pass on? You know, if you're trying to light a barbecue, okay, and you don't have an automatic igniter, or it's not working properly, and you get one of those, you know, those lighters you find like at the dollar store or whatever, right? And you try to light it, but there's barely any fuel in it. You see them go click, 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 nothing's going to happen. Because there's not enough spark in there to pass on or to light the flame. Okay, so if our iman, it's so weak, there's so little fuel in there, that it's just going like this, right? It's not going to have enough power in it to pass it on. How are we going to pass it on? So have we done enough to build ourselves so that we can pass it on to our children? If the level of engagement with our faith goes down, if it starts going down, will we find ourselves in a similar situation as other places of worship? Right, we are building big masajid, mashallah, many of the larger cities, big projects, right? 2 million, it's like chump change now, right? 2 million is like nothing. 2 million, 3 million, 4 million, 5 million, $6 million. It's great if it's all used properly, that's wonderful. But are we just building buildings, or are we actually building the iman that's going to get passed on, that actually is going to be required for people to actually come and populate those buildings? Right? There are communities who came early on and they worked very hard and they established masajid and they did everything. Masjid's closed. Masjid is closed. Within a generation or two, there's no one there to go to the masjid. Masjid is closed, demolished. There's a little plaque that said, here, this masjid used to be here. Historical, you know, site. That's about it. So, are we just building big buildings and do we have, you know, enough people to run its affairs? Will it become unaffordable for us? I'm not a pessimist, don't get me wrong. Okay, I'm a realist. I'm not a pessimist, I'm usually an optimist, but I'm also a realist at the same time. My dear brothers and sisters, let's make no mistake. Entire communities of faithful Muslims and others as well have disappeared in a generation or two. If you look around the world, you'll find places where people went as Muslims, and within a generation or two or even less, gone. I know a brother. He used to live in my community, or he is where I used to live. And he would say openly, he said, I'm a revert to Islam. Muslim name. Muslim family. Meaning Muslim parents, Muslim ancestors, Muslim grandparents. He'd say, I'm a revert to Islam. So we lost our faith. My friends, my family members, my brothers and sisters, they have Muslim names, but they're not Muslim. Within one generation, that's what happened. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all, may Allah protect our communities and our future generations. Now, I don't claim to have the solution to these problems. I don't know. Okay, I'm not saying I have the answer. I'm also struggling and trying to cope and understand. Alhamdulillah, I have been blessed with young children. And I'm also worried about their futures. I'm also worried about their iman. I'm also worried about their faith. And I'm also trying to make the right decisions for my children and their future. So I don't claim to have the answers. That's for each of us to reflect upon, seriously. So I encourage all of you, when you get the opportunity, reflect about these things and think about them seriously. But I can suggest one important piece of the solution. One important piece of the solution to this problem. And that is our connection with the masjid. One important piece of the solution is our connection with the masjid. To strengthen our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the masjid should and must play a central role. Because this is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the one place. Right? Masajid are the one place in the world which are devoted for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything that happens here, everything or anything that happens here should have something to do with Islam or to do with Muslims in some way, in one way or the other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, إِنَّمَا يَعْمُرُ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَ الزَّكَاةَ وَلَمْ يَخْشَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Allah says the mosques of Allah, the masajid, shall be, and Allah uses the word يَعْمُرُ. إِنَّمَا يَعْمُرُ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ. Only by those who believe in Allah and the last day, who perform salat, who give zakat, and they fear none but Allah, it is they who are on true guidance. And the word ya'maru has a very deep meaning. It has multiple meanings. So it could be referring to the actual physical building of the masjid. It could be referring to the, it includes the maintenance and the upkeep and running the affairs of the masjid. And the human dimension of the masjid as well. So to actually be present at the masjid, be the people who frequent the masjid, who go there regularly, who make it alive. All of these people are included in Ya'muru. So Allah says that they are those who believe in Allah in the last day. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testifying to their faith, is testifying to their iman. The people who have this connection with the masjid, they perform salat, they give zakat, and they fear none but Allah. And Allah says they are the ones who are on true guidance. So being involved in any or all of these is an indication of a person's iman, an indication of the person's Islam. There's the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, where he describes seven categories of people who will be in the shade of Allah, the shade of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the day where there will be no shade except His. as we have discussed, on the Day of Judgment, it will be very hot. Very, very hot. And the sun will be very close. And people will be almost drowning in their own sweat, depending on their condition of deeds. And Allah subhanahu, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that one of the categories who will, of course, everyone will desperately want a shade, but one of the few who will actually have that opportunity to have a shade will be وَرَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ, a man whose heart is attached to the masjid. And a person, a man who loves going to the masjid, his heart is always attached there, he's always worried about it, and always thinking about going there and spending time there. That is one of those people. When this community was a community of a few families, that is true. Right? I wasn't here at that time. I used to stop by as a little kid while driving by on the 401. I used to be very fascinated by the taps in the bathroom, by the way. So when this community was a community of a few families, our elders had the concern. When they did not have the masjid, the people of this community, especially our elders, had a concern. And they are here with us today. They had a concern. When there was no masjid, some of them would drive their children, who are also here today, to the masjid once a week, even an hour away. Even an hour away, just so that their children would have the opportunity to go and see a masjid and be in the environment of a masjid. Even today, we have students who come for our classes from Napanee. How far is Napanee?
30 minutes.
Okay, so a good 30-minute drive twice a week just to attend classes. So alhamdulillah, with their efforts, with Allah's help, and truly the efforts of all the Muslims, because Muslims from coast to coast helped in building this masjid. Some of them who probably never even saw this masjid. Some who never set foot in here. Yet they helped and they contributed and they helped in building this masjid. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala facilitated success, and alhamdulillah, we see what it is today. And for every single prayer in this masjid, every single prostration in this masjid, every single word of the Qur'an which is recited in this masjid, all of them will have a reward and a share in that, inshaAllah. So now we have this. We've got this. So many people stop by and say, oh, you got a beautiful masjid, mashaAllah. I was like, yeah, I know, I didn't really build it. But yeah, alhamdulillah, it's beautiful. Right? So we have this beautiful masjid, and we must value it and use it. Build our bond with it, spend our time in it, and take part in its affairs. Because this is ours. I mean, it's the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it belongs to the whole community, it belongs to all the Muslims. And it's for us. Right? No one else is going to come and worship here. It's for our own benefit, and it's for ourselves, so we must value it. And one of the things that, you know, that seriously concerns me is our level of involvement. So we are here today, mashallah, and the masjid is practically full. Brothers are still waiting outside. But the way we are now, with our elders carrying the load for years, for doing so much work, that even, like, you know, I'm surprised when I look at how much work, how much effort our elders actually continue to put into our community and into our masjid. So with our elders continuing this work with barely anyone to pass the torch on to, this is unsustainable, and it's very concerning. Financial needs are important, of course, and mashallah, many of you have stepped forward to help and pay for many of the expenses of the masjid. But money will not keep the masjid alive. Money does not keep the masjid alive. A masjid is alive through its people and its activities that happen within the masjid. You could all stop coming to the masjid, but keep throwing, you know, giving money to the masjid. It's not going to populate the masjid, right? Sure, it'll help pay for the expenses and run the affairs of the masjid, but the masjid is alive and populated by people like yourselves who are here today, who attend events, you know, who want and ask for activities and events and take part, and that's what makes it alive. Alhamdulillah, over the last few years, we've been learning, I certainly have been learning, about many things, but especially about the types of activities and the types of programs that are needed. And we've been trying to serve the need, despite the limitations. You know, there's different types of limitations we face. But we're trying, alhamdulillah, we try our best. Attendance has definitely increased, which is wonderful. Alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. Financial contributions are being made, even though there's still a need, but they're being done. So alhamdulillah, that's great. We still have rising expenses, but inshallah, we'll be able to take care of those. And the thing of concern is that the number of members has gone down. The number of paid members, the number of voting members of the Islamic Society of Kingston has gone down. And the general body now, right, when you have the meetings and so on, are smaller. Is smaller. And you may feel that's not that important. You know, that you take part in the, you know, in coming to the masjid and the actual affairs of the masjid, you offer, you know, you were somewhat involved, so you may feel it's not important. But to take part in the running of the masjid and to offer your ideas and your input and to serve, you know, in different capacities, especially on the executive, with the intention, of course, to share your expertise and to, you know, with true love and concern for the community and for the deen, this is a sign of iman as well. And as long as your intentions are good and you're trying to serve the community, and even though you're busy, but you have something to offer, you feel, and you're trying your best, this is a sign of iman as well. And it is very much needed. It is very much needed. The community cannot continue to go forward only on the shoulders of a few people. Right? This is a shared responsibility. This is a shared responsibility. So I encourage you, as I have before, if you have thoughts, if you have ideas, if you have something to offer, and we all do in one way or the other, try to get involved in some way. Try to get involved in some way so you also have a share in the rewards that will come out of doing this work, inshallah, and it will be a testament to your iman as well. On that note, I want to thank, you know, the brothers and the sisters who were on the previous executive, because I know the amount of time that goes into it. Right? You may think, well, it's a glamorous position. It's not a glamorous position. Okay? I know how long the meetings go on. Okay? I know how much work is involved. I see it with my own eyes. So for all those brothers and sisters who have worked very hard, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your deeds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you steadfastness and forgive any shortcomings which may have come out of your actions. And I make dua for the incoming brothers and sisters who have joined the executive, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them strength, may Allah grant them wisdom, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable them to use their expertise in a positive way to serve the deen and to serve the community. Is this an illegally parked car? Okay, AXWC 685 Mazda, is it an MPV? Red? I don't know what, but that's what I got. Okay, so there's something happening with your car, so you gotta go check it out. Alright. It's probably illegally parked, or maybe the lights were on or something. Okay. One thing that has really pleased me deeply, Alhamdulillah, is the involvement of young people. As you probably know by now, I'm very passionate about youth. Okay, your children are like my children. I love for them and care for them like I care for my own. Right? Your youth are like my brothers and sisters, or like my nieces and nephews. And I love them all from the bottom of my heart. So the one thing that really pleases me is to see them getting involved. Our youth are the future of the community. All you kids sitting here, right? I was like you one day, right? Once upon a time, I was a little kid who would go to the masjid with my dad, right? And just sit around and listen. And, you know, my dad would actually take me to the meetings as well. Okay, so I know they were super boring. And my dad would drag me to the general body meetings and all of those meetings. So I knew exactly what was going on. And I saw a lot of the fireworks that used to go on as well. Alhamdulillah, we don't see those as much now. But the youth are the future of the community. And I'm not going to be here forever. I'm not going to be standing here talking to you, you know, till the end of time. Right? Hopefully Qiyamah will come after my going, right? So I'm not going to be here. So someone else needs to be here, and it's got to come from our young people. So the youth are the future of our community, and this concern for the deen, for the community, for the ummah has to be instilled within our youth. And I'm very happy to say, Alhamdulillah, that five or six youth, young people, right? University students, recent graduates, mostly from Khumsa, but others as well, have stepped up, Khumsa meaning the Queen's MSA, have stepped up and joined us. Have joined us and are starting to contribute in different ways through projects and, you know, working on different things. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them much iman and strength and wisdom and steadfastness. And for all of our young people, right, all of you who are here, I'm also young, so I call you my friends. Okay, I still consider myself young. Please, be a part of this. Masjid, be a part of this community. I'm with you. I need you to be with me. Right? We need to be together in building this community. If we can come together, it's going to be epic. Okay, that's what I read on Facebook status. So I'm figured that should resonate. Okay, but we can do some awesome things, inshallah. If you come together, you have a lot of ideas, you have energy, okay? You have a lot of passion, you have a lot of zeal, which is excellent. Okay, you come on board, inshallah, and we can channel that in the right way, and we can do some great things, inshallah, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The results are not in our hands. The results are in Allah's hands. Always remember, what was that thing again? Try your best and leave for Allah the rest. Try your best and leave for Allah the rest. So we come together and we'll try our best, inshallah, and we'll leave the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah accepts our deeds and our actions, if we do them with sincerity, inshallah, Allah will accept them. And if Allah accepts something, then Allah surely puts barakah in it. Allah surely puts blessings in it, and it will be great, inshallah. So my appeal to everyone is please continue to build your relationship with the masjid, attend the events, get involved. Most importantly, be a good example for your children and instill the concern for the deen and for the community, for humanity in them. Because if my children don't have an example in me, then who's going to be an example for them? Someone else. So I need to be that example for my children where I show concern and I show, you know, I instill that concern for the deen and for community and for the humanity in them and make it a priority, not an afterthought. Not something you think at the end of the week, okay, I've done everything else now, okay, let's give some time to the masjid. No, it's got to be a priority. This has to be a priority for all of us so that when we are gone, when I am gone, when many of us are gone, they, our youth, can continue to be a flame of guidance in the darkness which will continue to spread. Because as we get closer to the Day of Judgment, we know things will get worse and worse. We know that. We know that it's going to get worse. But the question is, which side are we on? Are we going to register ourselves on the right side? Are we going to register ourselves in those who want to propagate the deen, in those who are concerned about the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who want to invite people towards good? Or are we going to be with the ones who don't care? Are we going to be with the evil? This is a question that we have to ask. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all. May Allah guide us all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our youth. May Allah grant them greater iman and goodness and khayr in everything that they do. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant steadfastness to all of us. There's a request from a sister. Her husband was in the hospital for a few weeks, and they were not from Kingston, and a number of brothers and sisters were going to visit them, and the brother has a degenerative disease. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help them. They have young children, and well, inshallah, their strength was really remarkable. They have been transferred out of Kingston. She called me this morning and told me that they have been transferred to Toronto, where they wanted to go. She just wanted to call and thank all the brothers and sisters in the community who made dua, who showed concern, even though none of us knew them. Brothers and sisters went and helped in whatever way they could. And this is our duty towards one another as brothers and sisters. So she was saying thank you. So I'm just passing her du'as and her thanks to you. Tonight, inshallah, we will be having a session regarding etiquettes by Brother Hisham. And that will be happening after Maghrib at 7:30. And there was no class today because of the long weekend. And there will be a number of announcements to come afterwards as well. And also, I had a request for a du'a for her. Brother Abbas Alavi, who has open heart surgery, I understand. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him a speedy recovery and a complete recovery, inshallah. And we pray for all of our brothers and sisters who may be ill, all of those who have passed away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cure those who are ill. Ameen wa akhra da'wana alhamdulillah.